And by this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And Peter goes on to say, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples also, if you have love one for another. And by that, adding that faith, we are to add these things and to diligently give forth the effort that Peter's talking about here. Diligence means to be ambitious, to have a zealous effort towards something. And so what Peter's saying is by adding these things and having a diligent or being ambitious to have these attributes or these Christian attributes, that we add those to our faith, it increases our faith. Paul gives the same instructions in relation to how the church in Thessalonica was to walk. That first in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, that they were to walk in holiness and that they were also to walk in love towards each other. Because there were some issues taking place, he was instructing them to be diligent towards these efforts. But when you get down to verse 11 and verse 12, the instructions change just a little bit in relation to how he wants them to walk in holiness and to continue to walk in love. His instructions are an exhortation to be diligent in their efforts, that they walk worthy and to also walk in a certain way towards those that are outside the body of Christ, but that they are also to live peaceable among each other and to live quiet and peaceable lives. And it's interesting when you look at that, there's kind of a paradox here, because you're to give a diligent effort, and to give a diligent effort to live a quiet and peaceful life means that there's this calmness and serenity, but you're to put forth the effort to make sure you're walking in such a manner to be peaceable in the way that you're living. And we understand that's not always an easy case, especially being Christians in today's society. How are we to be ambitious, or as one particular version of the Bible says, to make this your ambition at the way people view you and the way that you live among the world about you? But sometimes we understand the world that we live in today is not always easy to live peaceably in it, because the world doesn't walk the way that we walk. They don't do things the way that we do things. They don't treat people the way that we treat people. And because of that, the way the world is reflected towards us and the way that we reflect ourselves towards them makes a big difference in how the world is going to see Jesus. And so what Paul is telling them here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is that you're to be loving towards each other, that you're to walk in holiness in the way that you're treating each other in relation to being Christians, but also you have to walk in such a way that the world is going to see you as who you are as a child of God. So to be worthy of that walk, Paul goes on to say as he's telling the church here. So I think there's three particular areas I want us to focus on tonight that Paul wants them to be ambitious towards in the way that they're walking towards each other and also the way they walk towards the world. And again, that first thing is to lead a quiet life. For the phrase quiet life, again, suggests this calmness or this serenity. Yet for those to be ambitious, again, we have to apply this diligent effort. The quiet life, like many good things, does not come without a construed effort on our part. When you think about the mentality that Jesus was teaching his disciples, because he understood the way in which he was teaching them to walk in the world was completely different from what the world had always seen in relation to how they were following God, because this was a new covenant. This was a new idea that was being presented, and there was just a small group that was then going to present that to the world. And because of this, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, because you are my disciples, you are going to be persecuted because of what you're presenting to the world. But at the same time, he said, make sure you also turn the other cheek. He said, because men will strike you on one, give them the other cheek. If they tell you to go 1 mile, then with the Romans you go 2 miles. So there's this diligent effort that sometimes we have to stand out, which doesn't always construe the idea that we're going to walk peaceably among those that are around us. And so Paul is telling them in relation to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he said that you also aspire or to give a diligent effort to lead a quiet life. So to put forth this effort, how then do we lead quiet lives in a world who doesn't want us to live peaceably? When you think about the way that we go by and the morals by which we walk, the world doesn't always agree with those. They think the Bible is full of hate speech many times. But at the same time, we also have to present this gospel in such a way that we speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. And because we are to present the truth in love and to speak the truth in love and present the truth in love, sometimes the way that people then react to us by what we're presenting doesn't come across as peaceful. But yet Paul says, I want you to be peaceable and aspire to be peaceable in the way that you're going to present the gospel to people. So then how do we do that? Well, it's an admirable goal. As much as possible, Paul said in Romans 12:18, to live peaceable among all men. Well, as Paul found out, that wasn't always an easy task. Go back to Acts chapter 17, the first six verses there, as Paul is coming into Thessalonica. As he goes into the synagogue, he's there for about 3 weeks. And because him presenting the gospel of Christ, because he's presenting the risen Savior, the Jews didn't care for that very much. So they go off and aspire to get this group of individuals and they riot against him and they want to take him out and stone him and kill him. But instead they take Jason. And so Paul is going to present a peaceable gospel to a people that don't want to live peaceably among them. So you see the paradox and the how difficult this can be sometimes. So what that requires on our part, Paul is saying, is that we have to aspire to put forth this diligent effort that no matter what somebody might do to us, the way that we present it to them is that we still continue to show Jesus for who Jesus is. And I understand that's not always an easy thing to turn the other cheek. It's not always an easy thing sometimes to turn around and walk away. But we are to be diligent in that goal. We are to diligently pray, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 and 2, that we might live quiet and peaceable lives, that we might live in such a way to live godly and holy lives before mankind, because we have to put forth that effort, because the effort that we put forth then might also teach somebody else the way in which they should live. So that is to turn the other cheek, so to speak. In living quiet and peaceable lives says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that we put forth Jesus before our own goods and for our own wants and desires. Though we might want to lash out at individuals that are treating Christians or that are treating the church in such a way, sometimes we have to turn the other cheek because that's not what Jesus would do. And I know that term is kind of cliche, so to speak, because that's the way the world looks at it, but rather, what does the Bible tell us to do? And Paul said, I understand the difficulties that you're facing in walking worthy of your calling and walking in holiness and walking in a loving way towards each other, but you also need to walk in such a way that the world sees who you are and that they understand who Jesus is. And that takes a lot of effort sometimes on our part to make sure that we present Jesus in such a way that they understand that He is a loving God. Though sometimes we see that's not always the case with the way the world sometimes, or even those who claim to be Christians present Christianity as a whole. They present it as this hate-monger type mentality. We've seen the signs, right? The one that really gets me is this so-called, quote-unquote, Christian church that marches outside of cemeteries for soldiers that come home after losing their lives in the war. That bothers me. Because what they're saying is all these soldiers that are coming home, because they fought in a war, automatically going to hell. You see, as a veteran, that bothers me. But more so as a Christian, who are they convincing of the love of Christ by the way that they're acting? You're not convincing me. And you're not convincing anybody else, and you certainly aren't convincing the parents or the spouse or the loved one who just lost their child or brother or daughter or sister to the horrors of war. So it is a hard and difficult thing to present ourselves holy and acceptable, not only to God, but also at the same time to the world in the way that they see us and the way that they see us walking. We have to learn to be content in Christ, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. Paul said, I've learned with whatever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, it didn't matter what situation I was in, I had to be content in that situation because of who I was and what I represented. And we understand that's difficult because the search for simplicity today is this popular trend, but for Christians, it's more than just a trend, it's a way of life. This minimalistic attitude, I guess, so to speak, is the popular trend today, right? But to be simple in the way that we approach people with the gospel, that we aspire to live a quiet life, we cannot do this unless we give diligence to the effort. Because it requires patience on our part, right? Patience is something that we have to increase and grow in. By this, giving all diligence, add to your faith patience. So it's something that we work towards and something that we have to be patient toward the world because sometimes we expect the world to act like Christians, don't we? Well, I can't believe they're acting in such a way. How dare they act that way? And we can't understand, but what we understand is that they don't have the gospel. And so maybe that's our opportunity then to show them who Jesus is. The next thing that Paul says in verse 11, he says, and it's interesting, if you have the New King James Version, it's pretty blunt and straightforward, to mind your own business. to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commend you. And we'll look at that in just a second. Paul says to mind your own business. There is a place for living concern. Philippians 2:4 says we are to watch out for the welfare of each other. And we are. Galatians 6:1-2 says we are to look out and bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to help each other and to watch out for each other, that we have that responsibility. Therefore, we should not construe the words and take them out of contextual or to take them out of context to mean that we should not seek to reprove, rebuke, or exhort one another, because that's not what Paul's saying. We have that responsibility to look out for each other. But what Paul is saying here is that there is no place for nosy interference. If you look through the pages of the Bible, God does not like busybodies. God does not like gossipers. Paul is warning against becoming busybodies. People have nothing to do but to interfere in the business or the welfare of other people. As a matter of fact, Paul even goes against the church supporting the young widows because they were going from house to house in 1 Timothy, stirring up trouble and causing and talking gossip. Paul said, you're not going to support those individuals, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the older women to teach the younger women that that's not something they should be doing. Don't be busybodies. Now, that doesn't just mean that women are busybodies, because men can be too. But as a danger, especially when one is not focused on their own business, which is why Paul says this, the perfect quiet peace that we desire in our lives and in our churches cannot exist unless we maintain a proper distinction between brotherly concern and becoming nosy busybodies. And it certainly helps to maintain the distinction that we aspire to give diligent effort to. I had somebody come up to me one time after a person had come forward, and they asked me, what did they say to you? I was shocked. Only time that's ever happened. To which I said, none of your business. If you were supposed to know, I would have told you. That is, sometimes it bothers us when we don't know things, right? Sometimes there are questions that we can't answer, biblical questions sometimes. Sometimes things that God doesn't want us to know. And with that, we look at Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto God. Sometimes we have to understand that we don't need to know every single thing that aspires or takes place in other people's lives. Because when we do that, we simply become nosy busybodies. We don't always have to ask the questions either. So we have to aspire. We have to give a diligent effort to make sure that's not something of which we're getting caught up in. And Paul says to aspire to live a quiet life and to also mind your own business. Stay out of the affairs of other people. But again, we live in that type of society that wants to know everything, don't we? You don't think that's the case? Turn on the news at 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll find out everything you want to know. Any time of the day, we have access to information. If you don't know it, you can Google it. You can find out about it. But sometimes when it comes to the affairs of the church and other people's lives, sometimes it's good for us to stay out of their business. Paul says, mind your own business. Aspire to do that. Don't become busybodies. God doesn't like busybodies. But it certainly helps to maintain that distinction. Paul also says to work with our own hands as we commend you. The purpose of this command, 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says we are to provide for our families, that we have that responsibility. But then it goes on to say, for those who will not provide for their families, Paul said, you are worse than a Gentile or a heathen. So God gives great concern towards those individuals who will not take care of nor provide for their families. Paul says, work with your own hands. Put forth your own effort. And again, we understand through example and precept, Paul taught the early Christian to support themselves and not to depend on other people. Now, the seriousness of this command is failing to provide for our own families is because it makes us worse than Gentiles in the sight of God or unbelievers, because refusing to work is actually grounds for church discipline, believe it or not. When you look at 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, and while we may occasionally need assistance from our brethren, even the government, but we're not to make it a practice to live off welfare. The church is not a retirement system. It's not a constant bank. It doesn't become a habit for individuals because they know the church will always bail them out of something. It's there to help us in a time of need. We're to build each other up and to look out for each other and to provide for that need. But Paul also goes on to say that you have a responsibility then towards the latter part of Galatians chapter 6 to now pick yourself up and provide for yourself. Unfortunately, society doesn't see it that way. Society says we constantly provide for those who can't provide for themselves instead of giving them the avenue to do so. I was always taught that you got something out of providing and doing those things on your own and working with your hands. But unfortunately today, that isn't always the case. And while we may occasionally need assistance, we also have to get to a point, Paul says, where we're taking care of ourselves, that we're bearing our burdens, lifting our own selves up out of despair and dispute, and that we don't constantly rely on other people. Why? Because Paul also says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we have that responsibility as well, too. One of the things that you understand in this line of work is that you have people that come to the church building that have needs and desires, and they have time when they need help. And we're here to do that. Don't get me wrong. We understand the benevolent need, and God tells us we are to do those things. But one of the things that used to drive me crazy when I was preaching in Fayette, Alabama, and my window faced the parking lot so I can see people coming in. And so we would have people come by the church, and they would need food or assistance, and we wanted to help them with that. But when I would see a car pull up with a carload of kids and a husband and a wife, and the wife would get out and come to the door, I would usually meet her at the door and say, "Is that your husband?" "Yes, it is." And I said, "Well, you tell him to come in. He's the one that should be standing here asking for the help, providing for his family, because it's his responsibility as the one who's the head of the household." Do you know that 99% of the time they would leave and he would not come in? And that bothered me, because here was a man who was not willing to take care of nor stand up for his own family. You see, God says we are to be individuals, that we are to lead our households, right? Men, we have that responsibility. It's not to say that women don't have that responsibility as well. But we are to work with our own hands. Verse 12 says that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that they may lack nothing. So what Paul is getting to towards the end of the chapter here is he was saying, these things that you do, in not being busybodies, in aspiring to lead quiet, peaceable lives in the way that you present yourselves as followers of Christ, working with your own hands, not mooching off of other people, Paul says the world sees that. And when the world sees how we walk towards them and how we walk orderly towards them to live quiet and peaceable lives, we are giving them an example to follow. I always found it interesting when people will come to the church and say that we have a responsibility. You have to take care of me. I've had people tell me that. You have to give me money. You have to give me food. You have to take care of me. I have a benevolent responsibility. Yes, I do. But if somebody is not going to appreciate it, that's not somebody I want to give it to. You know, in all the years I've been doing this, I've only had one individual that came back to say thank you for the benevolent need that they received. And that's unfortunate, that we have people that will take advantage of things in that manner, that will take advantage of the church as a whole, and that's where the elders have a responsibility to watch out for the funds of the church, to make sure that it's not being taken advantage of. So it becomes difficult sometimes, because we cannot judge hearts. We don't know the hearts of man. We can only simply go upon the way that they act towards us. And we want to help them. But also at the same time, we have a responsibility to walk as Christians toward the world in the way that they see us. Have I been taken advantage of by those in the world looking for a handout? Several times. But I'm not the one who has to stand before God and answer for it. But we do have a responsibility to reach out to the world. We have to walk in such a way. We have to work with our hands. We can't be busybodies. We have to walk in holiness, and we have to live peaceably among the world who doesn't want to have anything to do with us sometimes. And since that is the case, we have a greater responsibility than they do, to turn the other cheek sometimes, to look the other way, and to show them who Jesus is. Jesus wasn't always treated fairly. People didn't always walk correctly towards Him. And many times they didn't want to have anything to do with Him. But He kept on walking, didn't He? So again, we all have a responsibility in the way that we walk in this world. And because we have that responsibility, the world is going to look at us. Sometimes we do make mistakes, and sometimes we fall short. And when we do that, God is willing and just to forgive us, because we have the blood of Christ with us. 1 John 1:7-9. And because we have that avenue of forgiveness, God says He's willing and just to forgive all those who repent. So when we make mistakes and we don't live according to His standards, God says He's willing to forgive those and to take those sins away from us. And tonight, if you're here and you never experienced the love of Christ because you're not a member of His church, you have an opportunity before you this evening to do that. But let me tell you this first. You also will have a responsibility that once you become a Christian and the way that you now live and present yourselves to the world, because the world will look at you completely different than they have before. You see, when you say, oh, you're a Christian, you're going to say they're going to treat you different, they're going to act different, they're probably even going to talk different. Maybe they'll talk in hushed tones and talk away and walk away from you because you're a Christian now. But you know what? Is that really a bad thing? Is that really a bad thing that people will behave differently around you? No, it's not. It means they understand the terms of that word, Christian. They know what the confines are. They know what it entails. And so with that, maybe they'll walk differently towards you. So you have an opportunity tonight to experience that. First, repenting of your sins. Luke 13:3, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, and finally being baptized to have your sins washed away, Acts 2:38. So you have the opportunity tonight. And if you've made a mistake and you need to fix it, you can do that. Or if you just need encouragement because this world is difficult to live in, then we want to help you and we want to encourage you as together we stand and as we sing.
Out of my heart.